From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Nailing the Antinomian Lie. In the opening verses of chapter 6, the Apostle Paul has moved from justification by faith to the doctrine of sanctification, or the matter of the believer's daily living. The theme of chapter 6 and 7 is grace removing believers from the realm and power of sin. Living in holiness is the believer's proper response to the gospel. This is the answer to those who argue that they can live any way they want to because they're under grace. Grace is not a license to sin. Paul's argument is forceful. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It is the Bible's clear teaching that believers died to sin when Christ died on the cross. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 22 and verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Did earth or heaven ever behold a sadder spectacle of woe? In soul and body our Lord felt himself to be weak as water poured upon the ground. The placing of the cross in its socket had shaken him with great violence, had strained all the ligaments, pained every nerve, and more or less dislocated all his bones. Burdened with his own weight, the august sufferer felt the strain increasing every moment of those 6 long hours. His sense of faintness and general weakness were overpowering, while to his own consciousness he became nothing but a mass of misery and swooning sickness. When Daniel saw the great vision, he thus describes his sensations. There remained no strength in me, for my vigor was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. How much more faint must have been our great prophet when he saw the dread vision of the wrath of God and felt it in his own soul! To us, sensations such as our Lord endured would have been insupportable, and kind unconsciousness would have come to our rescue. But in his case, he was wounded and felt the sword. He drained the cup and tasted every drop. O King of Grief, a title strange yet true to thee of all kings only due, O King of Wounds, how shall I grieve for thee, who in all grief preventest me? As we kneel before our now ascended Savior's throne, let us remember well the way by which He prepared it as a throne of grace for us. Let us in spirit drink of His cup, that we may be strengthened for our hour of heaviness, whenever it may come. In His natural body every member suffered, and so it must be in the spiritual. But as out of all His griefs and woes His body came forth uninjured to glory and power, even so shall His mystical body come through the furnace, with not so much as the smell of fire upon it.
Oh,
time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Mentioned this saying before. You've all heard it. I can do anything but perish. I can do anything but go to hell. Now, when you stop to think of that, that means I can lie, I can cheat, I can kill, I can fornicate, I can do anything except go to hell. And the reason for that kind of statement is, well, I'm justified. Being justified freely by grace. Grace superabounds over my abounding sin. There were people in the New Testament church that used grace as a cloak of maliciousness, a cloak to cover up their sin. And there are still people like that today. You see, all these three false responses to the gospel are forms of antinomian logic. And Paul responds to them in verse 2. In what I call kneeling the antinomian lie. Before dealing with the text in detail, there are just two general points, preliminary points I need to make. First of all three of these responses are attacks on the gospel of grace, and all three of them are false. They're based on a perversion of grace and of the true workings of grace. And the second general and preliminary point I need to make is, and this is something that's very difficult for people to grasp, so listen very carefully, is that the answer to antinomianism and its logic is not to introduce a measure of legalism or to curtail the doctrine of grace. There is this idea abroad. In fact, it's so much abroad, I think, that my friend Mr. Kimbrough intends to write a book on the subject, and I encourage him to do so. Where's Amanda? Tell him, my dear, to get on and finish it. It needs to be done. The idea is not original either to Reggie Kimbrough or to me. I was reading one of the old commentators making this very point. The idea is abroad that when people go too far in the direction of free grace, then you need to balance, and that means going across toward legalism. And when you get legalism and grace in balance, then you've got the truth. That's a lie. Antinomianism is false. Legalism is false. And you do not promote God's truth by balancing two falsehoods. There is no such thing as such a balance in favor of the gospel. You don't take the gospel and balance it with antinomianism. You don't take the gospel and balance it with legalism. What was Paul's answer to this attack of antinomian logic? I'll tell you what it was. He says, let's get down to look at the gospel again. Let's get down and let me explain to you more fully and more perfectly the meaning of justification by free grace. Let's not back off from this statement that where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Let's not back off from this statement. As all men were constituted sinners in Adam's disobedience, then all believers are constituted absolutely, eternally, irrevocably righteous in the sight of God, in the obedience and by the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's not back off from that statement. Let's not back off not only that it is produced and procured by grace, but it is received by faith alone, without works. We're not going to trim that doctrine, says Paul, in order to oppose antinomianism. I'm going to expound grace. I'm not going to sink into legalism. Now, with these preliminary points in mind, we're going to come especially now to verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Its general message is clear, that the doctrine of justifying grace cannot lead to a life of sin, and that for obvious reasons. Now, we're going to look at those reasons as they appear in the text. First of all, you look at verse 2. There is a plain statement. Believers died to sin. Now, we must make this clear. How shall we that are dead? I think that's an unfortunate translation. I say unfortunate because it has led people to all sorts of strange conclusions, as I'll show you in a moment. Paul didn't say, how shall we that are dead? Paul said, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? Now this is a very difficult expression, died to sin. As I've said, many people have reached strange conclusions about it. To understand it, we must pay very careful attention to the precise words that Paul used and the means that he has given us to interpret those words. Again, let's get his actual words. And I'm going to put the emphasis where he puts it. As he wrote it, he starts with we. We who died to sin. How shall we still live in it? Now there's an emphasis there first upon the people. The we at the beginning of the sentence is saying this, we being what we are, as we have seen throughout the latter part of chapter 5. We being what we are in union with Christ. We being constituted righteous because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. We being fully justified. We being brought out of the reign of sin unto death into the reign of grace through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ. We being who we are and what we are in union with Jesus Christ. How shall we live any longer in sin? There's an emphasis on the people. Then there's an emphasis in the verb to the particular tense, the aorist tense. We died. We died. And the emphasis is to a particular point in the past. We died unto sin. Now I think if we keep these details in mind, it'll help us to dispose of some of the more popular interpretations. Many of you may have suffered, as I did, thankfully not from my own minister, who had a lot more sense, for I grew up under the preaching of a great preacher in S.B. Cook. But I came across this as a young Christian. I read about it, and I must say it caused me great distress, because I didn't know enough to combat the thinking. But it said, we are dead to sin. The illustration was given, you go to a corpse, it is dead. You pinch that corpse, what's its response? Nothing. You holler at that corpse, does it get angry? No, it's a corpse. It's dead to any influence, any stimulus, any provocation. It's dead. And it says we are dead unto sin. And it means we are dead to every influence of sin. We're dead to all the power of sin. We are just corpses. This is the notion of sinless perfection. Not only do the people who talk that way have to talk out of two sides of their mouth at the one time, not only do they have to redefine sin, not only do they have to make huge excuses for their own evident imperfections, for there's not one of them that does not know that he does feel the powerful impulses of sin, and they confess that under temptation they may lose this sense of deadness. Try to work that one out if you can. I've never yet met a corpse has been able to lose the sense of being a corpse. not only are those things true, but their whole theory flies in the face of what Paul actually wrote. Again, notice the tense of the verb. He says, we died. This is something that's true of all believers, all who are constituted righteous in Christ. He's not talking about a second work of grace. He is not talking now about a superior work of grace. He is not talking about some elite in the people of God. He is describing something that is absolutely, inevitably, and in every case true of every believer in Jesus Christ, every justified child of God. That's true of all believers. So if being a believer makes a person sinlessly perfect, how on earth and why on earth would Paul later in this chapter say, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God? Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. How could he write those things to people who were dead to every feeling of any impulse to sin, which really means any temptation to sin? So this notion of sinless perfection is the farthest thing from Paul's mind here, and I mention it because sincere Christians do find themselves greatly troubled when they read such stuff. And I remember I was greatly perplexed about this. Can I be really saved? I still feel the impulse of sin. I don't lie like a corpse and I don't feel it. I may even act properly, but when somebody gets in my face, I feel it. And unfortunately, they usually feel the result of it. I feel it. And even when I don't say all that I think I would like to say, nonetheless, I have felt it. I'm not just a passive corpse lying there. And many a time I used to read things like this and say, can I really be saved? Because if I were saved, I wouldn't feel this way at all. Men and women, that's not what Paul's talking about. It's false gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. Then there are other people, and they say, dead to sin. Well, we're not all actually dead to sin, but that's what we should aim to be. Now, I have no particular quarrel. I would like to aim to be perfect. I would like to aim to be free from feeling the impulse to sin or the provocation of sin. But I have great objection to making it the interpretation of this passage of Scripture. The idea here is, if we're not dead to sin's influence and pull, then we should be dead to sin's influence and pull. But I want you to notice again, Paul in verse 2 is not saying what we should be. It's not an exhortation. Within this question, there is a plain statement. We died to sin. It's not saying, let us die.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.